today we have Mary Jackson with us, who's speaking on what ILL really costs. And Mary Jackson is the product manager of Agent Resource Sharing for Audiographics, Inc. And in this capacity, she oversees the development and implementation of the ILL system, manages the agent user group, and works closely with customers in identifying new features for the system. In Connecticut, Agent Resource Sharing is known as Request ILL System. Previously, Mary worked for the Association of Research Libraries. She conducted a series of interlibrary loan performance measure studies both nationally and internationally, collaborated with numerous vendors to improve their ILL systems, and was a frequent speaker and writer, and served as a consultant to many libraries, consortia, and resource sharing organizations. Mary's professional career began at the University of Pennsylvania, where she managed the interlibrary loan department for over 17 years. Mary is a member of the NISO Circulation Interchange Protocol Implementation Group and serves on several National Information Standards Organization committees. Mary likes to say her middle name is Interlibrary Loan. Please, please welcome Mary Jackson.
Thank you. Last fall, I had a hip replacement, and so I'm going to be seated, and I'm going to try to bob around to make sure I can see all of you, but I still am not able to stand for a full hour and act the way that I normally do. I want to be sure that all of you have either a copy of the two handouts or can share with a colleague in the same institution. I think we have maybe more people than handouts, but if you did not get a copy of the handouts, here is one copy I'm willing to give up, but and there's an extra one. Okay, so make sure you just all have copies. Yeah, good.
Is there an alternative, like, online site where we get the
We will be making that available, especially, well, the PowerPoint we can put up, but definitely we will have the worksheet that we're going to be encouraging all of you to do. That will be available online. My hope during this session is to provide context about the other interlibrary loan cost studies that have been done, and then even more importantly, talk about why this study in Connecticut for public libraries and other types of libraries is really going to be a first. I hope that all of you will be so excited that you are going to volunteer to collect data for your libraries, go home, collect it, so that we then can get a really good understanding of what it costs libraries in Connecticut to fill an interlibrary loan transaction. I'm going to go through the worksheet and definitely respond to questions throughout. So if you have a question, feel free to interrupt me and we can address it there. We are then going to give you the instruments. You're going to send me the data, and Steve and I are then going to be able to send out the results. So this is not the session where you are going to hear what it costs. This is the session to hear how you are going to collect the numbers to be able to have us report what that costs. I've been involved in interlibrary loan studies, performance measure studies, for what feels like it's at least half of my career. The first one, conducted by the Association of Research Libraries and the Research Libraries Group, was overseen by Marilyn Roach, who worked at RLG at the time. And I'm not going to go through any of these numbers because now, obviously, time and inflation have put distance between the numbers. But the things I'm going to emphasize are the percentages of staff cost. That in all of these studies, we are seeing staff is the prime driver for a filled ILL transaction. So you worry about what you are doing in terms of using technology or you know, the amount of faxing you do or the amount of photocopying you do. All of that's very, very secondary to the kind of staff person you have and how that person works in the study. So the first one was in 1992. The second one was in 1998. And it was the largest study. We involved both research libraries and college libraries, members of the Oberlin Group. And again, the numbers, as you see, for college libraries are lower on a unit cost basis than the research libraries. And there's a number of factors there. In part, it has to do with how much volume, how many borrowing requests, and how many lending requests are being processed by those different types of libraries. Libraries with lower volume sometimes have lower unit costs, but not always. We're starting to see some reduction in the percentage of the staffing costs, but it's well over two-thirds to three-quarters of the unit cost. The third study was in 2004, shortly before I left ARL to join Autographics, and this was, again, primarily ARL member institutions. And we had a couple of special libraries, governmental libraries, and a few college libraries. But generally, these three studies have been focused on the largest research libraries in the U.S. and Canada. But we're seeing, especially in the borrowing, that staff percentage has gone from 70 to 60 to now just under 60%. So, you know, there is hope. And if we would ever conduct another study, it might go down further, but still it's at least half of the percentage of that unit cost. Staffing, I can't emphasize enough, is what we really want to take a look at when we're looking at the cost of an interlibrary loan transaction. This study that we're going to undertake with your cooperation is really going to be first for several reasons. As you may have concluded, the previous studies have been focused on the academic libraries and the large academic libraries at that. And so this will be the first study focusing on public libraries. And we're not excluding other types of libraries in Connecticut, but we're certainly hoping that we get a real nice representation of public libraries. When I was at ARL, I was asked over and over again by the public library community, where is the comparable study for my public libraries? And there really was none. And we had tried to encourage public libraries to participate in those second and third studies, but we didn't have any takers. So you are now going to be the first cohort group that will, we hope, collect the data. Data collection had, in the previous studies, seven different worksheets and probably a 10-page questionnaire. And we asked all sorts of questions, and there were a couple of trick questions in there that made me think that if the number on the questionnaire equaled the number of staff on the staff worksheets, they answered both correctly. But 90% had a different number for the staffing. So I've decided that I don't want to go through that again. So I've eliminated the general characteristics questionnaire completely. I've also eliminated all of the other worksheets that have to do with equipment and supplies and communication, network communication, all of those other related things that you need to have to do an interlibrary loan transaction. And I've said, let's just focus on the staff, and then we'll calculate that extra percentage and see what the cost of a filled transaction is. So we have a single worksheet. It was tested by several libraries in Connecticut and really good questions, and it looks much more elaborate thanks to Steve Kaufman's Excel expertise. But what we are going to be doing, and I'll hold this up, if you look on the side that has the yellow box in the upper left corner, we're going to ask you to provide us data for 8 elements. And when you get the online version of this, the worksheet is going to do the calculation, but I've shown what the calculation looks like manually on the reverse of this sheet. And so we're going to ask you for very simple numbers. They might not be simple in terms of what you need to do to get those numbers, but they, relative to the previous studies, this is a easy way of collecting data. And then we are going to use the calculation in the Excel sheet to figure out the unit cost for your library. I've taken the percentages from the 2004 study, and I actually rounded the borrowing up to 60% just to make it an easier calculation. So we are going to assume that, and this is a fairly big assumption, that your delivery and network and supplies and communication are all the same percentage. Now, I know that we could have gone through and had you collect all of that data, it would have been a tremendous effort, and I've decided, let me make this big assumption that your percentages are the same as the research libraries that participated in 2004. When we get the numbers, we can say, well, what would be the cost if all of those other categories was 30% and your staffing was 70%, or is staffing 50 and 50? So we can play with the numbers once we calculate that, but that is an assumption that I'm assuming your other costs are the same, and therefore that's what we're going to use in the calculation of the unit cost. The numbers we're going to ask you to provide are the following. The annual salary. And for those of you, may I see a show of hands of those of you who have more than one person in your library doing interlibrary loan? Okay, so for all of you, you will fill in staff A, B, C, D, and we can expand this if you have, you know, 10 individuals doing interlibrary loan. For all of those who have not raised their hand, you're going to fill it in for staff member A. I should be on the right side. So you're going to report staff salary for a single individual. If you have concern about getting salaries of your peers, you could take this to the library director if you're not the director yourself, and have the director complete that salary part of the information. I am going to assure, I legally cannot guarantee, but I can assure you that I do not share salaries from all of this data collection. I've seen lots and lots of salaries, and you know, those are just numbers to me. So if you're sending the salary information to me and you're concerned, please feel comfortable that I am not going to be able to say, well, Sally is making $100,000. I want that job. I will not divulge. When we get the end results, we're looking at how to present the numbers to you. And if we do it by volume of interlibrary loan, and somebody can say, well, that must be that library because we know they do that level of interlibrary loan. We're not going to be able, you know, I'll take it away. The 92 study, they gave me a scatter chart. Somebody else had collected the data, and I said, oh, that must be, you know, Yale. That must be SISTE because I knew their volume, and so therefore I knew their unit cost. We're not going to be able to do that. We're going to keep the data aggregated in such a way that you will not be able to figure out salaries from another institution. The fringe amount is the second element, and that is usually a percentage of a salary, and you may not know what that is, so you're going to have to go to administration and get that percentage, but calculate that to the nearest whole dollar and put that in as your second element. Again, if you're doing this for multiple individuals, we need salary and fringe for each of those individuals.
Can you define fringe a little
bit?
Fringe is your vacation time, it's your health benefits, it is your sick leave, it's FICA?
Yeah.
Okay. And FICA means
Social
Oh, thank you. Okay. So it's things the library is paying on your behalf, but you're not seeing it in your paycheck in terms of take-home pay. You may see it on your paycheck. Social Security is certainly there and reported to the government. So that's understandable what fringe is. And the numbers will vary from 15 to 30 or lower or higher. It depends on what your local library or city or county has decided what the fringe is. Question in the back, please. It's in addition to. So if your annual salary is what your paycheck says. So let's use the $100,000 because that's, I like that salary. I'm waiting for it. I've been waiting a long time for it. And your fringe rate is 30% to use easy calculations. So that would be $30,000. So your annual salary on here you would report is $100,000. You would report $30,000 as fringe. So the library is really paying $130,000 for you to work in the library. Even though you don't see direct monetary benefit exactly in that $30,000. Yes, please. Yes, you could take it off W-4, but then you'd have to figure out what the fringe is.
You have to figure out how much the town or city spends on your insurance.
Insurance.
And you say percentage.
Yeah.
Well, I'm easy, I'm part-time.
Yeah, but you get FICA.
I get FICA.
Yeah. And so if you can't find the fringe amount, we might have Steve see if there are fringe amounts available for different cities and townships and areas. We do need to count that in, so we'll have to figure out, if you absolutely can't find it out, what number are we going to use as an average, and we might get the results in and figure out what that average is. Question? Okay, so then the association, we need to get that fringe directly there. Okay, yeah. Okay, good point. Sharon.
All libraries report their salary and fringe on the annual statistical report of the state library. It's an aggregate for all staff. So that information is available. This administration's
Web junction.
Yeah, Tom Goodman puts that out, right?
Mm-hmm. Good. Another question, please.
Well,
correct.
So we figure, so
correct. So in it would be the Social Security that might be addition to that. So part-time individuals don't have that same package of fringe. So you're going to report the annual salary, and you might want to make a note that these are part-time individuals so that we know that you have consciously thought about that there is no fringe, as opposed to forgot that number. Any other questions about salary or fringe? Then the next number that we want you reported is the hours these individuals work per week. And if it is part-time people, then 10 hours, 15 hours. If it's full-time, it's 35, 37 and a half, 40, whatever that number is. So that's the next element. Then we need to know, of that portion of time you're working in the library or these other individuals are working in the library, how many hours are spent in interlibrary loan? A full-time person is easy. If I work 40 hours, it's 40 hours in interlibrary loan. If I work part-time in reference and part-time in interlibrary loan, I might have a standard schedule that it would be 20-20, 30-10, whatever the breakdown is. It might vary from week to week, but in theory, you probably know that I am half and half. So give me what you're supposed to be working as opposed to what you've worked last week, which means you might have worked 100% in reference or 100% in ILL because somebody was sick or on vacation. So this is our attempt to figure out, of that total amount you've worked, how much are we going to count for this interlibrary loan cost? So the number of hours you've worked in ILL. Then, of that number, let's say it's 20, how much time did you spend on borrowing and how much on lending? Now, if you have one person doing borrowing and one person doing lending, that's going to be really easy. Let's make it even easier and say it's two full-time people working only in interlibrary loan. It's going to be 40 hours in borrowing and 40 in lending. Now, I bet that's not going to be common in your libraries. So this is where we're going to have to say, use your best educated guess or ask the staff to measure how much they do on borrowing and how much on lending. Question?
You are very well aware that it's a very step-intensive process. So, for example, I borrow, the clerk does the rest of the process. She checks them in, she checks them out. So do you count the entire process?
Yes, yes. So checking a book in, if it's been borrowed from another library, she counts as a step in that borrowing process. The lending, if it's your book that you've sent out and she's checking it back in, that's a lending step. Question?
What about like administration stuff, like you have to send a letter, like you didn't pay the bill and that kind of stuff? What is that?
So that's either borrowing or lending. If you didn't pay a bill, it could be who, it's your local patron lost a book, so that would be borrowing.
Okay.
Or if the lending library or the borrowing library didn't return it and you're sending a bill because they lost your book, that would be lending.
So whatever correspondence.
So, yes. Okay. Yep. Yes, please.
I have a question about libraries that are in consortia that are using a system hold or interest. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we have a problem in counting the lending aspect of it. The thing goes to the hold shelf. You're working on the desk for 2 hours. You checked out three system hold books from, you know, other consortium libraries that are technically are ILL.
Right.
How do you, you know, three books out of 2 hours, you can't really, you can't really count how many things you checked out on the lending desk that were system hold.
Exactly. So I would take that 5 seconds and...
1 second per charge, please. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. I'd take those 3 seconds.
Sorry.
Yep. No. And say, okay, I did that much lending, but what were the other lending things I did?
Right.
And if there wasn't anything, I would say I did zero lending. Knowing that 3 seconds, I'm not going to figure out what percentage. You know, that's, you know, pennies on the salary. So all I can say here is use your best guess. And depending on how much effort you want to put into this, you could have people, you know, writing down in a day or two how much activity they do on borrowing and on lending. If you decide to take a wild guess and just simply pull numbers out of the sky, your unit cost is going to reflect something that is not real. So the closer you can get to either measuring or actually knowing what time you're spending on borrowing and lending, the more accurate your unit cost is going to be.
Okay, how about this one?
Okay. Okay, I'm ready.
How long is the study for, just a week or?
Well, we haven't set dates because that was partly what I wanted to get from this group. How long, for those of you who are going to participate, how long do you think it's going to take to get the data? I'm willing to give 3-4 weeks if that's what you think. You want to take 2 weeks and measure staff time, that would be great. I'd rather have us take the time and get accurate numbers than have you rush just to get it back to me quickly and we can report numbers quickly.
Well, what if we figured out what that period is going to be? It's a week, it's 2 weeks, it's 4 weeks. And what if we in consortia could basically give you a list of every book you checked out to every other library, and then you just did a calculation based on number of checkouts, and that's your lending.
For that part of the lending.
For that part of the collection.
Yes, yep, that would be good.
Because I think we do that kind of report for everybody anyway, but that would really be able to give you, because as my colleague pointed out, you know, a few seconds here, a few seconds there over the course of time adds up.
It of course it does.
So, you know, could we do it that way for the intra-consortium lending?
Sure, sure, that'd be good. Question here.
Before you get into how long makes sense to do this study, my question is, what month makes sense to do this study? Because as public libraries, we're coming into summer reading program. A lot of you close on Saturdays. My location gets hit with twice as many patrons because we're a vacation spot. So what month makes sense to do this, to have the numbers be real, and then we can back into how long?
Yep. There is no good month.
March and October.
Yeah, really.
March and October, okay. And we are now in April.
Well, you too. I mean, come on, is that convenient for you?
How many of you think you want, how many of you know right now fairly firm what percentage of your staff time is spent on borrowing and on lending? How many of you would like some time to measure that? A show of hands. So more would like to measure. So that then says this is up to you, the group. If we want to wait till October, that's fine with me. I'm going to turn to Steve and see if that's
okay. That's okay.
We would then be in a new fiscal year for many of you, so we'll have different salaries that you could do. We could also consider doing a dry run this spring and having you all collect the numbers, do best guesses, see what the results are, and then repeat it in October and see with the more accurate estimate of your time how variable we were with those numbers. So it's requiring additional time on your part, but I'm certainly willing to go through that. What's the consensus?
Just do it now and get it over.
You'll lose interest if you wait too long.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, we're going to, if you wait till October, people are going to say that 6 months ago, I don't remember what you even said.
Everybody's got their March numbers in hand in terms of what they lent, who their staff was, and you could do a sample week coming up in the next week or two in terms of actual percentage of staff time. Not
going to
be that wildly different.
Yeah. Is that comfortable to everybody? Okay, good. I agree. I'd have to come back and repeat all of this information, which would be great to do, but I think doing it now, and we'll talk about the dates.
I have a question.
Please. What I would do, I would jump down to your borrowing and lending filled transactions from last year, and let's, you know, making this simple, borrowing is 60% and lending is 40%. I would then take those buckets and say 60% is lending and 40% is borrowing.
All right.
So use your previous fiscal year percentages of borrowing to lending when you are just not able to figure out what's going on. Yep. So that then brings me to that the last two numbers that you need to collect, the borrowing filled transactions. So this is actually how much stuff came in for how many requests, as opposed to how many requests you sent out for your patrons that were not filled. So these are filled transactions. Same for lending. How many, not physical items, but how many lending requests did you actually send out one or more items? So I don't want the fact that you've sent out 5 DVDs to fill a request. I'm counting the one request that you sent something out. So those are the numbers. Yes. Correct, correct. And so, like all of the other previous studies, we took a previous fiscal year's ILL traffic with current year salaries. There's no way that we could ever figure out how to capture current salary, current traffic, and annualize it. So we've just said your previous fiscal year totals are known to you, you've reported them already, use those numbers. Here also, some of you in consortia that are doing circulation, we know from the last studies that some libraries counted those as interlibrary loan because they were coming from another library, and others said, no, those are circulation because I treat those libraries as branches. Report however you interpret those numbers. And if we get some real wild variations in the unit costs, then I might come back and say, is that a library that treats the consortium circulation-based as interlibrary loan or not? And then I might do some other calculations. So just treat it as you interpret. Yes.
Instead of using the last complete fiscal year, is it okay if we just use the last 12 months? That way it would be current, at least for our own
library. I'd like everybody to do the same. Okay. That's one of those areas where if you use 12 months and it gets complicated. Somewhere 6 months behind because the fiscal year stalled. So those are the numbers we want you to report. Do these seem reasonable to collect either by yourself or in consultation with the library director or administration? Yes.
I do have a question. We go by the stats that are collected by request and OCLC, and there are two different sets of stats, two different formats.
Mm-hmm. They are the in request, the stats in the ILL admin on the left menu count are a snapshot of your current activity, whereas the statistics in the statistics tab are counted based on the origination date. And that's one of, I'll jump back and put my product manager role on, that's one of the areas that I want to change because it is not consistent. So whatever you have used to report to the state is fine, knowing that OCLC counts it slightly different from request. You might have paper transactions that you forgot to report. You know, if you're off by 100 and you're doing 10 million ILL transactions, it won't matter. Now, nobody here is doing 10 million transactions. And so you would have to discount half of your traffic before it made an impact on the unit cost.
The only problem I have is with the time lapse is the fiscal year that you're using the number, if you're looking at current time spent.
Right.
Ours has increased tremendously in the last 6 months.
Yep.
So I'm going to use a lot of hours based on a year old numbers.
Yep.
You're talking last.
I recognize that. And with the previous studies, that's what we did as well. So here's where I'm trying to be consistent, knowing that if we erred, we're erring the same way for each of the studies, so that I can take that 40% of everything else just to apply it. This is, again, I've said it before, where I can start playing with the numbers and say, well, what if the increase, they did 10% more borrowing and 10% more lending. You know, it might be that your unit cost goes down by 1 or 2 cents. And if it's that little, I'm not worried about a penny or two. If it goes down by 50%, then I might come back to you and say, what have you done so different that you have such a change? So, but if we can be consistent, that's my preference. Please.
Pages, student workers, those are also going to be counted as staff?
Yes, yes, yeah. And so anybody who is less than a full-time employee that has their hands on interlibrary loan, lending or borrowing, should be counted. And I rely on you. The better you are, the more precise you're counting, the more accurate your unit cost is going to be. Yes. You are very lucky. You're in
full-time member and staff kind who do ILLs for part of their time, and then you have somebody.
Yep, yeah. Because we are looking at the direct cost the library pays to do an interlibrary loan transaction, that library is not paying that volunteer, and so your unit cost in theory should be less, unless you have really high staff and very inefficient workflows, then your unit cost could be high, but
so
I doubt that.
Count.
Don't report.
Don't report.
If it's a volunteer, don't report, because all I would do is just ignore it.
Okay.
Yes?
If I have a part-time staff person who helps me when I am not there, on vacation, I'm sick, or whatever, do we count her?
Yes, yes.
We put her salary down.
Correct.
And then we would put how many hours work she would put down. All my vacation time would be the amount of hours.
So in this situation, she worked 2 weeks. Are you a 40-hour week? Let's.
Actually, yes, I am.
Okay, just for ease. So that's 80 hours that she worked on interlibrary loan. But you need to figure out 80 hours of what her full part-time is. So if she's working 5 hours a week, and I'm not going to do the math easily, by talking. If she works 5 hours a week for the whole year, then you calculate how many hours she's worked over the full year. And let's say it's 100. I'm just pulling numbers off. And then 80 hours, that's the percentage she works in interlibrary loan. So for people who don't regularly work in interlibrary loan, you have to figure out the hours that they have worked in ILL, but then calculate how many hours they've worked in their part-time job over the course of the year.
Is that important? Is it important to the study? Because myself, I would leave that person out.
I have to say yes, it's important, because the more people who are doing ILL that you leave out, the less reliable your number is going to be. And so what we've seen every previous study, I had somebody complain to me, and these were usually my colleagues. Well, my numbers are much higher. I know I reported really, really carefully. I measured down to the minute. But that library with that low unit cost, they must not have counted properly. So I'm being silly about this description, but that's what I want to avoid. So yes, it might take you more time, but to include everybody who's doing ILL, we just get more reliable data. Yeah. Yes?
Yeah, I work in a city. We have three branches, as well as the main library. And the ILL staff, there's 5 boxes. That's not enough.
We can expand it.
So can each branch get one of these?
Sure, sure.
And then hand it in per branch, or should it be all lumped into one at the end?
We are going to make this available online. And so you have a paper copy. You can feel free to make copies and have the branches fill it out. What I hope to get from you is a single online or paper copy. And we'll talk about how Steve is going to make those available online.
We have like 5 staff that do 80% of the ILLs, and then like another 10 staff that do just the touching, the one minute, the 1 second.
Yep. You know, some of this comes back to how much time you're willing to devote to get people to measure their time. And the better you are at that, the more reliable your numbers are. I can't say that enough. So do the best you can is really all I'm asking.
Wouldn't that be a reason to count the volunteers that are doing the work, though? Because they would be working a certain number of hours, basically free of charge, which would take your costs down.
But we're looking at the direct cost the library paid.
Okay.
So if the library is not paying somebody to work,
okay,
the library's not spending its money to do that fill borrowing or lending transaction. Yes?
So this is just the cost per staff. We're not considering supplies and postage?
No. We're asking you just to give staff costs because the postage and all of those other calculations are added into rows R and S on the reverse side. So the calculation, the spreadsheet will then say you've spent $10,000, but it's really $14,000 because we're going to add that additional cost that for everything else we're not asking you to collect. Yes?
This isn't about the current study, but have you done any other studies that have been able to differentiate between manual mediated interlibrary loan kind of system and the system owed kind of interconsortium? Do you have any studies on that? And
the
amount of time and cost,
yes.
Are there differentials?
Yes, there are. In 2004, we looked at OhioLINK, which is the InReach software. We looked at Rapid. We looked at, there were three or four others in there. Oh, sorry. The question was whether we have done any previous studies that looked at mediated versus what I'll put into her mouth, circulation-based resource sharing. And yes, we did take a look at those. The system in Illinois was another one. And those are, you know, patron searches a union catalog, places a circulation hold, essentially. Circ staff retrieve the item. The book is shipped, CERC staff check it out to the patron, and that was like 1/10 the cost of mediated. So in the 2004 report, we have a whole section on each of those different systems. And, you know, that was the message out of that study is, let your patrons do your work for you. Move to circulation-based systems. Now with the NYSO circulation interchange protocol, we can have a mediated system like Request acting like it is a circulation-based system because the standard checks out the book when you update the request to shipped and et cetera, et cetera. So that last study is available. The Internet Archive has scanned it, so it should be online somewhere, or you can ask. It's available, I think, still for purchase from the Association of Research Libraries. And or you could ask me, and I could photocopy that chapter for you. So.
Oh, we hate photocopies, don't we?
Good, yes, we do.
Environmentally friendly, right?
Good.
So, online, good.
Good.
I was expecting that number to be pretty good, but
yeah.
Now, I must say that slightly exceeds my expectations.
Well, I think I have the numbers right, but it's a tremendous difference in, you know, it's like, okay, why aren't we all doing that way right now? So it is good. Other questions? Yes, please.
To follow up on the question that you said it's going to be figured in for the supply cost.
Mm-hmm. I'm using the average percentages from the 2004 study that say staff is 60% of borrowing, so I'm adding 40% onto the staff cost to get the borrowing cost. And then the staff is 75% of lending, so I'm adding an additional 25% onto the staff cost to get the cost of lending. So I'm going to get a number, and then I'm going to figure out what the unit cost is by dividing that total staff plus everything else by the number of filled transactions. And I'm doing it because it's on the spreadsheet. The spreadsheet will do that. If you, let me say this, if you feel that you want to deal with a paper version rather than an Excel, feel free to send it or fax it to me, and I can add, type in the numbers. But all you're going to report, any of you, is the ones on the front sheet of the paper. You will, if the, those of you using the Excel sheet, will see this calculation immediately. So even though this is on two sheets, it's on one sheet, and you will see your unit cost. Some of you will be puzzled, shocked, but we can deal with those results later. But I think that might be a good segue to here are the results in my preliminary comments. You're going to have different unit costs because you have different configurations of staff working on this. So just because you rely on some volunteers, your cost may or may not be lower or higher than another library. If you have a librarian with a library degree doing it, you're not necessarily going to have a higher unit cost. All of this is so important to understand that what's really driving this, even though we have different procedures, and if I would visit all of your libraries, I would see as many different libraries represented here in procedures and workflow as there are. You all do it slightly different. But this bottom point is that your unit cost is going to depend completely on your volume of interlibrary loan. That's what's really going to be. If you do low volume ILL and have the same level of, you know, that same $100,000 staff person, and you do two requests, your unit cost is going to be outrageously high compared to a library that is doing 50,000 requests. And I use these numbers only to make a point. But that's, if that's really what's going to drive your unit cost. So think about, when you see that unit cost, how much volume of interlibrary loan. And so let me then parenthetically say, here's a way to increase, be more willing to lend, be more willing to borrow for your patrons. If you want to lower your unit cost, increase that volume of filled transactions. Yes. Sure it is.
Are you ignoring those requests if you're in a consortium for anything that's not owned in the state of Connecticut?
No. You're counting your ILL traffic, whether it came from the library in the next community or Australia.
Yeah.
You know, what you're not doing is counting turnaround time, and obviously that would impact, yeah. And you're not counting directly the cost of preparing a form and faxing it to Australia, or, you know, sending it to that library out of state. What I'm trying not to do, but I suspect when I start seeing the numbers, is trying not to have you tell me everything about your library. I might start looking at numbers, and I might come back to Steve and say, is this in a consortium? Do they do circulation-based ILL or not? So that I can understand that volume. Well, your volume might be the same. The patron submitted a request, and she doesn't know if you can get it in-state or out-of-state. So you're counting that initial request, and if you filled it from in-state, fine. If you filled it from out-of-state, that's still a filled transaction.
Yeah. But it's,
you might
it's more
spend...
time involved
in doing. It could be.
Yeah. Generally, there is.
But again, what percentage of that? Is it 2% that goes out of state, or 92%? you know, when we lump all of this stuff together, those exceptions, the things we really worry about, end up being much less important because we're really looking at the typical normal transaction, which for most of you will be a request filled within the state.
I just wanted to expand on the answer. We produce the ILL statistics for the Connect libraries. We only give them the stats for what they do for the Connect library lending. Mm-hmm. And I recently did a very informal survey that said, just give me rough numbers. How much is filled from Connect libraries? How much do you go to either request or OCLC or out of state for? I have one library at 100%. Why? Because they had to cut their ILL staff, so if they can't get it off Connect, they don't do it. But the average was in the 90s. So mm-hmm. they're finding 90% of their stuff is filled from within the state. But that's all we give them, is that 90%. The rest of the 10, they got to count. If they did something to Greenwich, which is not in our system, they got to count that manually and add that up to the statistics mm-hmm. they give to the state. So I think it's a level playing field, you know, where the stats are concerned.
Yep. Other comments, questions before we talk about the procedures? How many of you are willing to participate, at least leaving this room thinking you're going to do this? So a good number. I don't think it's going to be that onerous, given what the other studies had to collect. So now let's talk about the process of collecting the data, timelines.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about our idea of...
Sure. The first thing I could mention is the handouts, the electronic spreadsheet, will be on the section's website. And on that handout, the What is Resource Sharing handout, I don't have a handy yet. Here we go. On this handout, next to the last paragraph, it says clarss.pbworks.com. That's where the spreadsheet will be. I'm also planning on doing a Survey Monkey survey to collect the data. The other option is, if you're not comfortable doing that, you can email the spreadsheet directly to Mary. Her email is right on.
And this is my home email, so I want to keep it separate from my work life, because this is my personal life right now. So this is email, but my phone, feel free to call. I work from my home. And this is, instead of calling the California number, you can call Maryland or fax it. So it's just easier way to reach me. And please do feel free to call with questions or email with questions as you're doing this. I don't want you to make guesses that turn out to be inaccurate.
I'll have the forms up probably by Wednesday. The SurveyMonkey may take a little longer, but you're still going to need time to calculate all your things. I hope to have that up by Friday. You'll see links to all of this. I also have a microphone here. I'm trying to record this session. So if any of your colleagues missed it, hopefully on that web page, you'll see a link to the MP3 as well as a link to the handouts to the presentation.
Did we determine a deadline for this?
We haven't yet.
Okay.
But there was a question in the back. You will have your unit costs in comparison with as many others that participate, and we need a handful to be able to do that comparison with the aggregate. You will have a better understanding of whether you are high or low cost, whether that says if I'm high unit cost, I might want to take a look at my procedures, my practices, my policies. Do I really discourage interlibrary loan? Should I change that? Do I limit the number of requests patrons can submit? Should I look at changing that? So you will have information that will help you evaluate your own operation. And in conjunction with how you are doing relative to other libraries in the state. So it's really a tool for you to say, how am I doing? Are there numbers here that are worrisome? In the previous studies, we had some people say, I need to put more staff resources into interlibrary loan because my fill rates, which we're not collecting here, were so horrible relative to the average. So I might have, I know one institution added a librarian into interlibrary loan instead of just part-time people to be able to get better ILL fill rates and, you know, in conjunction, better turnaround times because their turnaround time was pretty bad too. So it really helps you look at your own operation.
When you report the unit cost for the different libraries, do you also report the volumes for different libraries? Because, you know, you said volume, if it's higher volume, it's going to be typically
could be.
In the past, it's been lower cost. So when you do the final report, do we see that? Are we able to look at our volume that we're handling versus somebody else? So if they have a significantly lower unit cost,
if we will be able to report that if we can keep the libraries anonymous. So we might have, if 50 of you participate, we might have three tiers. So we'll figure out, you know, low volume borrowing, medium volume borrowing, high volume borrowing, and then we might report the average for each of those. It really depends on how many of you participate, where the breakdown is. If you're all within a dollar in your unit cost and some are doing high and low, we might report it differently. I can't speculate, but I'd like to be able to give you some sense of, we know some of you do more or less than others, and what are your unit costs relative to a high volume or a low volume operation?
I noticed in your worksheet, you don't seem to be collecting information about whether or not the library is providing interlibrary loan fully or partially via the system-generated hold kind of thing. Would that be helpful for you in, because that could really account for why there are some big differences in cost. I know someone else asked a question before about why is my cost so high when I know I'm doing this. Well, you know, that could be a real factor, and could you, maybe your study take a look at, here's the aggregate as a whole, but here's the aggregate for the guys that are using the system hold with paid, and here's the guys that aren't.
We certainly can. If we have enough who are doing the system holds, we can take a look at that subset.
If your questionnaire doesn't ask, am I in a consortium, do I do system holds,
right,
then you wouldn't be able to collect that. So
right. Well, we still will collect it. We might have to come back and ask a follow-up question if Steve can't answer that. You know, you might know the libraries who are in system holds.
Well, actually, he does.
So exactly. I can actually give Mary a spreadsheet, that
right.
list. I know the request participants.
Hey,
I know the different consortiums. I think
mm-hmm.
the question becomes is the library reporting the CERC transactions
or something you can supply?
Not?
Yeah. Right. I just like to see it factored into the study because that you might see some real differences. I kind of hope you do.
Yeah, I expect to. And what I'm trying to make it easy for you, not asking you these 50 million questions ahead of time, but then it might put burden on me and Steve to say, okay, this is a real outlier. Tell me about that library, Steve. What is it that this library does that I don't know about? And so I'll just wait until we get some of these numbers back and then start asking the follow-up questions. Yes?
Now, this may be an odd question. When I first started in the library 11 years ago, we had a limit. The book was this amount of money you could get the library loan if you had to buy it. Nowadays, totally different state, so we really stuck by that. We can buy, even though sometimes it's a hardship mm-hmm. on the book budget, but that's the problem. Interlibrary loan affects your book budget.
Yep. Yep.
And what I've done now is I said, this is ridiculous on some of the things. I definitely want to know if something's borrowable, interlibrary loan more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's only this amount of money, it makes more sense for me to just buy this book and throw it away.
Yes.
We're a tiny library, so that's a burden too. But to me, it's a big burden on the state and on staffing to constantly be interlibrary loaning libraries. I mean, kids and their series, too. You know, what does it cost is $3.99. Granted, putting, ordering and all that puts up the price,
yes.
but still, you know. So where does the state sit on that? Do we have, I don't even know. Do we have a limit where you, or are we equal on that?
really library by library. One thing for sure, though, is CCAR thanks you. But really, it's library by library. And I appreciate what you're doing, and I think that's a good workflow. Mm-hmm. ILO was never envisioned as a replacement for good collection development. Mm-hmm. And if you get two or three requests for the same thing, you really should consider purchasing.
Yeah.
Is there a way from, well, either one of you, from request to pull when we have had more than one?
Yes, and it's in your statistics. On the top tab, there's a button that says statistics.
Okay.
And you can get an Excel spreadsheet of everything that you've either lent or you've borrowed.
I don't want everything. I just want to know if I've had a request for the same title twice.
We don't have a report that produces just that little subset. So you would have to do your six-month report, sort by the title, and then see if it's there.
We're doing something in our ILS system so that I will have that, so that I know if we're getting a second request to purchase it, but that would be a very useful feature.
Yeah, yeah. Please.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. We don't do a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I know some libraries do
yeah.
a lot
sure.
of that.
Sure.
And we would never be able to afford to buy all those.
Yeah. I mean, all of this says you have set up when it's appropriate to use interlibrary loan or not. And everybody will be slightly different. And so you just report the numbers that you've done, knowing that it reflects the kind of service that you want to provide your patrons or to your other libraries.
I have a question, I guess, for everybody. Can anyone here charge their interlibrary loans?
Does anyone charge their patrons for interlibrary loan?
Out of
state. Okay.
See, just to wrap up, how about if we put a tentative date on this ending of May, the end of May?
Yeah.
First day of May is what, May
30th?
30th.
31st.
31st. The Friday nearest to that. How's that? Is that the 20th?
28th. May.
Friday, May 28th. That'll give you 6 weeks. That's not a hard and fast date if you can't get it to Mary. You can't get it until another week or 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, but let's put a tentative date on this. A target date at the end of May.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that if you go home and collect this and want to send it to me right away, please do that. You know, get it off your to-do list and put it on my list. But no later than May 28th. Yes. If you're going to take a look at how much staff is spent on borrowing and lending, yes, let's just say 1 week, make it easier for you. And if you feel that week is atypical, then you adjust the numbers to what you think is typical.
I think that's it. It's 11:20, so the session's over. I'd like to thank Mary Jackson.
Thank you.